Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Jake Koenig podcast. Sorry, the JA3K podcast. Branding. For my guest for the second podcast, I have Rhiannon Bates, the same as the first guest. I had many plans for a second guest, but they all revolved around meeting them in Detroit and surprising them with a microphone, and it just didn't work out in the end.
Because of Corona,
right? Yeah, because of Corona. Though I think the Greyhound was not canceled. I should have just gone and interviewed Anthony, since he lives in Detroit. But Corona's gravely impacted us. But luckily, it has meant that Rhiannon could not escape the second episode, because she has nowhere else to go.
Besides the studio.
Yeah, besides the studio. So, yeah, if you're worried about us here, we had to fire our techie for safety. So it's just Rhiannon and I now. We don't have a staff of 5 like we used to.
No facts will be checked.
Yeah, no facts will be checked. Hopefully we have the...
No techs will be teched.
Yeah. Hopefully we have the brain power to make up some facts at least. But
yeah,
certainly they won't be checked. So the second episode, instead of being a Q&A with a guest, because I think at this point you know everything you need to know about Rhiannon, really got inside her head and knows what makes her tick. This time we're going to discuss a movie we watched together, Midsommar.
Isn't it Midsommar?
Do they ever say the title in the movie?
No.
I feel like okay, Pelle probably says
it. It's just spelled differently.
Yeah, it's spelled like Midsommar, like I said.
Yeah.
But I think it means midsummer in Swedish. Are you fact-checking this right now? Midsommar means midsummer in Swedish. That's a fact. Don't check it. Put your phone down, Rhiannon. Okay. Sorry, I forgot I have to narrate what you're doing. Okay. I'm trying to have this engaged conversation, and Rhiannon's on her phone fact-checking, even though she explicitly said there would be no fact-checking.
I'm sorry. Everything you say is a fact.
That's a fact. The only fact you've said today.
Hey, you're so mean. Everything I say are lies.
Yeah, I should have delayed that joke because... So this is a very visual gag podcast. Rhiannon had her tea and she was moving it towards her lips. And if I had have delayed that joke, we could have gotten a spit take, I think. But it's just as well.
I would have burned myself. That would be the worst.
Yeah, but even funnier, right? Did you ever watch, what's that slapstick show? With Mo, Curly, and,
No.
No, it's not Mo and Curly? No. The Three Stooges.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
How old are you?
I have fond memories of watching The Three Stooges and Mr. Bean with my childhood friend Eric on our VHS tapes.
You're so old.
I'm just a year older than you. During September, the rest of the time I'm 2 years older than you.
Yeah.
Wait
no,
a minute.
No,
no, no, no, no, no. The opposite.
So old.
The opposite of that. which of us had a birthday in August? I can't remember. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the movie? What we've come here to discuss.
Well, so overall, this movie was, I think it was Swedish or something, or maybe it was just the director was from Sweden or something. And it was, I don't know, maybe you should give the intro. I feel like I am not good at this.
Okay.
But it was a horror horror movie unquote.
I haven't watched very many horror movies, but I think it fits in that genre. There weren't like jump scares, but it just like this unsettling environment that got more and more grotesque.
Yeah, there was some like gory things. Mm-hmm. But not that much, and not that much blood either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also from this point on I think we might discuss spoilers, so if you don't want to hear spoilers, you should probably start watching the movie right now. I'll wait for 2.5 hours. It's actually only 2 hours. I'll wait for 2 hours. Actually, we can just edit that break in. Yeah. I'm just gonna edit 2 hours of silence into the podcast right now. I'm just kidding. I don't know how to edit. This file we're recording will be uploaded without changes or doctoring. But yeah, wherever you are, I'm sure you're just in your apartment having not left for days. So you probably have time to watch Midsommar. And I would recommend it. I thought it was enjoyable. But yeah, to fact check your statement, all I know is the director's name is Ari Aster. Because I wrote down some facts about the show before we started. So is Ari Aster Swedish? Are you checking now or are you just looking at your
No.
Instagram?
No. Wait, okay, this is not about the movie, but maybe you can edit this part out. But did you hear that today was the last day to get packages at the
Oh, for a second, I thought you were talking about Amazon. I was like, holy
mailroom?
shit, this is really bad. Oh, yeah. So, for the listeners, Rihanna and I live in an apartment building, in the same apartment, in fact, and there's usually a mailroom. But now we are instructed to just have the packages left at our doorstep. I won't edit this out because this is important background information for the environment we find ourselves in.
Yeah, but what about packages that are already there right now?
Oh, did
It's
you
like
have packages there right
I
now?
had something
Oh
there.
shit. Oh, Amy, they close at 6. Let's go.
Oh,
Let's go
okay.
right now. Okay, I guess I will have to edit a break-in because we need to go to the mailroom right now. All right, we're back. That was an adventure. We just walked to the leasing office. We got there with 3 minutes to spare. No one was there. We could have taken every package. And Rihanna's package was there, but someone asked us to check on their package, and theirs was not, so hopefully they'll find it at their doorstep or something. Yeah. Midsommar. Or do we want to talk more about
No,
our.
no. We actually should talk about what we came here to talk about.
Yeah. Which is Ari Aster Swedish? That's the director. But let's not look it up. Let's just guess based on their name.
I think so. Or he like directed a bunch of other movies.
Set in
So he
Sweden?
made other movies. I don't know.
Okay.
But just
Okay. Who's your favorite Swede?
The King of Sweden.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of him. He's like supposed to be really nice, right? He does cool things.
Yeah.
Or did you just make up this fact
There's a
that
lot of
there's Swedish
face
royalty?
gesturing.
Oh yeah, I guess we shouldn't like use our eyes to communicate since our listeners cannot watch our eyes. I waggle my eyebrows.
Yeah, stop.
I wink.
Talking so much with your eyes.
Okay, I'll just close them. They're not helping me take in information from the environment anyway. Wow. Now that my eyes are closed, I feel like I understand what my listeners are experiencing much better. It's horrible. Open your eyes.
Wake up.
Okay, I opened my eyes. My favorite Swede is Bjørn Trusselt. I think that's how you say his name. He's like some C++ guy, but I've listened to him talk in some YouTube videos. So. Rihanna shakes her head and opens her package from the mailroom. Focus!
Okay. Well, okay. So, in the background our huge rolling whiteboard has a beautiful diagram of all the characters involved in the Midsommar movie.
Midsommar.
Yeah, whatever. And J3K, would you care to explain this diagram?
No, everyone already watched the movie because I told them to.
All right, 2 hours ago.
The diagram is just because I don't want to like forget.
Yeah, but would you like to describe the movie at all or do some intro? 'Cause
Oh, yeah, to set the scene. Okay,
yeah.
so Let's see. The movie starts with Danny being very distressed and her boyfriend Christian hang out at the bar with some friends. And then,
Spoilers.
yeah, spoilers, major spoilers. I'm just going to describe the whole plot of the movie,
Oh my
which you've
God.
already seen, so this is a waste of time. But yeah, Danny's distressed because she got some email from her sister, and she calls her parents and asks them if they've heard from her sister. And there's like a scene of her parents, but they're dead in bed, and you don't realize it yet. Yeah,
Oh my God.
so Danny's whole family dies in the beginning, and she's obviously very distressed. But in the scene in the bar, you realize that like Christian's friends are like pressuring him to break up with his girlfriend, and I don't know, it's like he doesn't really see it as a long-term thing anymore, but they've been together for 2 years. But then time skipped to 6 months later. They're still together because you can't break up with your girlfriend after her whole family died.
Yeah, remember that.
Are you going to murder your family around it? Oh, it's coronavirus is going to kill your family. Yeah.
Yeah.
They live in Washington. Sorry, I don't know if I should give out that personal information.
All the creepers are gonna go to my family's house now.
Yeah. It's
Houses.
okay. I won't specify whether I mean Washington State or the District of Columbia. But I mean the one that has a lot of coronavirus.
So
Which,
obviously the Washington.
yeah. Obviously, Washington. Yeah. And then the next scene is like Danny waking up and Christian's there, and Christian's like, I'm gonna go to a party. He doesn't really invite her, but she's like, I wanna come. And it's obviously this like weird tension where he doesn't really invite her to anything, and they have like a terrible relationship. So they go to the
And
party.
all of his friends hate her.
No, they don't. Not Pele. Pele loves her.
Wait, I don't remember. Did he ever like badmouth her as well? Like I remember his friends were like joking and stuff like that about how he should break up in the beginning. Did he ever say anything?
Oh, you know what? That's a good question. I don't remember him having lines in those early scenes of his friends. I feel like if he did have lines, they would have been out of place because they would have given him like lines that are like very pro-social and positive and empathetic.
Yeah, they were at like a bar with, or at like a restaurant with this giant picture of like some woman's chest in the background as like they were trying to convince him to break up.
Oh, I missed that.
Wow.
Oh, wait, no, it's coming back to me. Yeah, I remember the bar having like kind of a raunchy environment, yeah.
But I don't remember him as a character before he invited them to Sweden.
Yeah.
But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine. So yeah, in the party, they're invited to Sweden. Or no, they it comes out that they already have plans to go to Sweden. So
For
Christian,
a festival.
for a festival, yeah. Christian, her boyfriend, hadn't told her despite the flight being like 2 weeks away. Yeah, it's clearly a failing relationship. And then the next scene is them arguing, but like him being like, I feel attacked, and like kind of like sidestepping the conflict, trying to make it seem like a totally normal thing that your boyfriend is going to Sweden for a month, 2 weeks from now, and hasn't told you.
Are you going anywhere, by the way?
Yeah. I was going to go to Singapore, but I find it unlikely that I'm still going to Singapore. But we will see. But yeah, I told you like 6 months ago, and you freaked out. You're like, what do I do for 2 weeks while you're gone? But now I'm never leaving the apartment again, so everything's much better now. Much better. I'm rolling back in my seat, but now I'm rolling forward. But that's harder because I have to like pull with my toes instead of push. Back on topic, focusing. By the way, I wonder if I should edit all these pauses out to make it seem like we talk way faster. There weren't like uncomfortable pauses. I'm just like looking at the audio file that's recorded, and it looks like there's long pauses, but I guess it's just normal conversational
Maybe you should
pauses.
ask the people who are listening to this.
Okay, yeah. If you're listening to this, please comment with whether you think there should be fewer pauses or longer pauses, because I could also put pauses in or just pause naturally. Man, that's some good tea. But anyway, back to Midsommar. And then the next scene, Christian comes in to the room with his three friends and is like, oh, I invited Danny, but it's just a formality. She's not actually going to come. And then Danny comes in right after and is like, clearly going to come. Terrible relationship. And then, I guess we should describe Christian's friends. So there's Pelle, the Swede who invited them, who's very, empathetic and warm and always knows what to say and always is calm. And then there's Josh. So Josh is played by William Jackson Harper, who I couldn't stop thinking of as the professor from The Good Place, but they play very different characters. He's a good actor because he actually plays both characters pretty well, but still going to get the other character out of my head. So he's really invested in his studies. He's in his PhD thesis.
He's also the one who also doesn't like Danny. Never mind, sorry.
Yeah, I think Josh and Mark pretty clearly don't like Danny. And it's kind of clear that Christian's sort of lukewarm about Danny, but somehow feels priced in.
Well, especially, both Mark and Josh left the room when Christian was... Or no. Yeah, they both left the room when Danny showed up.
Yeah, and Christian left the room too, right? Where did they...
Josh wanted to talk to him, pretending that they were just going to talk about work, but probably that they were going to voice concerns about having Danny join them.
Mm-hmm.
But then Pelle started talking to Danny, and all of a sudden he was like, oh, I really want you to come to this trip. What do you think he saw in her in the beginning? Do you think that because she lost both of her parents, we find out, or he tells Danny that he lost both of his parents too, and he understands... He really understands,
and then he really gets it.
Yeah,
what it's like to have
really
your...
gets it.
Yeah,
he just fucking gets it. And then he's like, "Yeah, I'm really glad that you decided to come to this trip, but why do you think he was wanting her to go?
Mm-hmm.
Do they just need more women in the commune?"
I don't think it was a selfish thing. I just think he saw that the trip would be good for her, that
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Everyone has their motives, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. So spoiler alert, everyone dies, except for Danny probably, but that's also ambiguous.
No, everyone literally dies.
Does Danny die?
I mean, she'll die someday.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Spoiler alert, you the listener will die. I don't think Danny dies. She definitely doesn't die during the film,
matter.
And I don't think it's implied that she dies right after either, the end of it. Yeah, I shouldn't be laughing. It's actually a real tragedy. Someone should do something about death. Come on.
Coronavirus.
Yeah, coronavirus is doing something about death, but we need some action in the other direction, I think. But, I don't know, so Pelle obviously is recruiting all these people to be murdered, but I don't know, I still don't see him as, a selfish, manipulative person. I feel like he's,
He lured them.
Yeah, but he's, a true believer. I feel like he sees what happens to them as, part of a larger story and in some deeper sense for their own good. Obviously that's, perspective, but I don't think he's, he's not, doing it out of some kind of self-interest for, status in the group. He's, doing it out of, some true belief that what is good for the group is good for the world. And
that's one of the points of the movie, though, is, they're all anthropology PhD students, except for Danny, who's a psychology PhD student. But, they want to understand the culture and, write in two of them, Mark and Josh, want to, write their thesis about this commune there. But, is it morally justifiable, even though you're, respecting the culture and, understanding it and stuff?
Is what morally justifiable?
Like what Pelle is doing, having them, as a good thing, bringing them to the commune, knowing that they'll probably die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or fulfilling some greater good or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think everyone in the movie is like heinously evil. But except Dani, I suppose, who's just a pure victim in this heinous evil that she's
And she's
surrounded
like
in.
very codependent on her boyfriend,
Oh,
right?
yeah. Yeah, I guess in some sense she's like, she should just not be with her boyfriend. So like, she's not totally innocent, but I don't know. Everyone else is much more evil than her, I think. But I think the movie is like trying to draw this contrast between like Pella's evil, which is like this groupthink gone terribly wrong, this like commune that has these horrible values around like sacrifice and elder side. Sorry, there's a train going by. Hopefully you can't hear it. Hey. I'm looking at the Audacity file that's being recorded, and I'm guessing from the line you can hear it. It just tooted, which is why we were on and laughed. If you could
So
hear the
funny.
toot, then there'd be no reason to explain that. I don't know if you could hear the toot or not. But I think this train will be sort of short. Eventually, the supply lines will stop because of coronavirus, and then the trains will stop going by. Planes fly over our place, and I feel like fewer planes fly over now. I hear like Delta cut 70% of their routes and stuff. Pretty dire stuff.
Yeah, so Pele seemed really nice. And actually, I think he's one of my favorite characters just because he seems like he really cares about his commune and like he's doing something for his community, as in like getting new people to contribute to the genetic pool, basically. And he's just like really happy and he really loves Danny, I guess. He's always drawing these pictures of her. I guess that's why I like him. You know.
Yeah, it's nice to have pictures drawn of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think like I didn't finish what I was saying, but like the movie is like contrasting like this cult like evil with like so the cult is full of these true believers, and these true believers are capable of doing like horribly evil things because they just like are born into it and they see it as right. But then the anthropologists are themselves like evil. They're cultural relativists in this like horrible way where they just like so they don't see it, what's happening to its logical conclusions. They don't realize that they themselves are going to die horribly here. But like early on, relatively, when they get there, they see like these two elders like kill themselves in this ritual sacrifice because everyone who's 72 in this commune dies. And like on some level, like that's like not as shocking as the things that come later, but it's like a pretty shocking thing. And I think like these anthropologists would like be horrified if they saw it in their own society, and they should like not like apply this relativism to this commune and be like, oh, this is fine, it's just how they do things. Like I think they're like detached scientific perspective is like it leads them to a certain kind of evil. And I
Well,
think it's related to, oh, sorry, what were you gonna say?
an example of that is when Josh, like, goes to take a picture, and he's not supposed to take pictures of this like sacred text.
Yeah. So that, I guess like on some level he respects their cultural right to this horrible ritual, but on another level he doesn't like respect their wishes at all, like their right to privacy. He just like breaks in and takes pictures of their sacred text. So it's like it's just pure self-interest. He like only cares about like he wants this culture to be fucked up because he wants to be able to write a dope thesis. It would be like less good if they were like good for him. And I think like their scientific detachment is related to Christian's like total detachment from his relationship. He just like and his like apathy towards his thesis. He, like I think it's implied he's sort of like a late PhD student who doesn't even have like a topic yet.
Wait, so, like, those examples were for selfish reasons. So is Christian in a relationship with Danny for selfish reasons? Like, he looks better if he stays with her because her parent or her family just died?
Yeah, I think it's like just like this cowardice. Like he like just like he can't like choose a topic until like someone else leads the way and he copies them. He like is sort of just like in this relationship and he's just like sticking it out because he doesn't like have any initiative or see any direction for himself.
Yeah. And he also shows cowardice in other ways too. He just like, well, I guess. So, like, something about this cult is that it seems like everyone is connected to everyone else too. Like, I don't know if this is something like different about them or just that this is like a cultural thing, but they all like make these noises that are the same of like when someone else is in pain
Oh, you mean
or
like
like feelings.
the elder suicide scene and the
Yeah.
Danny's sexual revelation scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do seem very in tune with each other.
It seems like it's always in a bad way, though. Except for like two times it's bad and one time it's good, I guess.
You'll have to be more specific.
Like the elder scene when they like committed suicide or they like jumped off a cliff and everything, they were all like screaming in pain because one of the guys didn't die yet.
Oh, yeah,
And
yeah.
then the other time, Danny was like having a meltdown, and she was part of the group because the women were like also screaming at the same time. And then there's a sex scene where like these women are all like chanting, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I didn't know if it was something that you should look into further or if it just meant that it was a cult and everyone kind of thought the same and
Yeah, there's sort of a contrast there, like the people there of this like unity of emotion, whereas like Danny and Christian are never on the same page about what they want or how they're feeling. It always seems like Christian's kind of like trying to get one over her. What other scenes should we talk about? I like the scene where they drink the mushroom tea. And I feel like Mark is so funny when he's like, I'm gonna lie down. You lie down too. And I feel like that's just like such a psychedelic thing, you know, like he just cannot unilaterally decide to lie down on his own. He like needs to voice it, and I don't know. It's very relatable.
Because you know like what other people are like when they're on mushrooms, right?
Oh yeah, of course. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing is that they have powder that somehow like makes you do things.
Oh, you mean when the old guy blows powder in Christian's face?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was confused about that. I didn't know what that.
Yeah. I don't
Wait,
know
was
what
it for
that.
his vitality?
Yeah. They said it was for his vitality,
You know what that means.
but I think like it seemed like he went into that room on his own accord. Like it seemed like he didn't really know what was going on, but he was like, okay, I guess I'll do this.
Yeah, he seemed
Didn't
pretty out
seem.
of it in that scene, probably because of all the drugs he was on.
But I think it was another example of him being cowardly, though, because he just kind of like went with it. But maybe it was the powder. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess on some plot level you should see it as him being on drugs, but I do think it's like also very much in his character just to like keep doing this horrible thing. Yeah.
I think overall, I didn't really like the movie that much. I think it was really interesting. I just don't think I really learned anything. Or, like, I don't think it was very thought-provoking.
You don't think so? I feel like there was a sort of thought-provoking message about morality, which I don't know. I was like trying to articulate the contrast that I thought the film was drawing earlier, but I don't know. I thought all the scenes, like, I thought the suspense was really good, and
Yeah, I was very interested in watching it. I just, like, we also have watched other movies recently that have been really strange, I guess, is how I would describe it, or like thought-provoking or different images or different ways to interpret it. And I think that this movie had very clear things that they wanted to show. But maybe I'm just not looking into it as much.
Oh, you mean like Horse Girl?
Yeah, we
Yeah.
watched Horse Girl and we watched I Lost My Body.
Oh, yeah. Both amazing movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is sort of an aside, but I felt really roasted by Horse Girl when Alison Brie, sorry, I don't have a whiteboard of the character names, so Alison Brie was like paranoid and looking things up on the internet, and all the things she was looking up on the internet are things I've looked up on the internet in the past. It makes you think, am I paranoid? Am I crazy? Like about carbon monoxide poisoning. Like about 2 years ago, I was really paranoid about carbon monoxide poisoning for no reason. There was
Yeah,
like nothing wrong
no,
with my
there's a
apartment.
reason. There's a
Yeah, and
reason.
she's reading about the Great Filter. I read about the Great Filter late at night sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, you don't? Well, I mean, not recently, because I'm never up late at night anymore.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, there's nothing to do after 10 p.m. but read about the Great Filter and carbon monoxide poisoning.
So,
I feel like we're done talking about Midsommar.
yeah, I think we're done.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I have an anecdote I want to share about carbon monoxide poisoning.
I mean, it's your podcast.
What does that mean? It's going to be a good anecdote. People are going to be glad they heard it.
Not stopping you.
Okay. So, it's the year is 2018. It's March. And it's like 11 p.m. Thursday, and I'm paranoid about carbon monoxide poisoning because I make bone broth on the stove all day. And I feel like if I leave the stove
This
on all
is a
day,
true story, right?
everything about this is true.
Just so weird.
And,
Bone broth from the bones of his enemies.
no. I used to get chicken thighs. I would get like 10 pounds and then I would like rip out the bones, eat the thighs, obviously. Cook them first, obviously. Obviously. And then I would use the bones to make broth and I would drink the broth. But yeah, I would like leave the pot on the stove for like 10 hours. My apartment would smell like chicken, obviously.
Yeah,
I don't
I
know why I keep
know.
saying obviously. Sort of a verbal tic. But anyway. So I was paranoid about carbon monoxide, I guess logically because I left the stove on all day, but that's not really logical because I don't think this stove should emit carbon monoxide. Nothing's really burning. It's just electricity going through tungsten or something, right? It was that kind of stove, not even a gas stove. And so, and I wasn't even making broth at this time. I was just paranoid about it because I made it all day. But I'd been in my apartment for like 3 hours and everything was fine. So it's like 11 p.m. and I can't sleep because I'm paranoid. I'm like, people are going to think I'm so dumb if I die in my sleep tonight. So I go to the office, and I'm not the only one there. Sam is there working on the algebra PSET. So I come in, he talks about his solution to this problem for like 30 minutes at like 11 p.m. and he's so excited about it. And I don't know, I don't remember the details that well, but I remember there was like a simple solution that he was aware of but just aesthetically didn't like. And instead of like just coping with his dislike for the solution, he was up at 11 p.m. working on his own solution, which he thought was preferable for aesthetic reasons. And he very excitedly told me about it at 11 p.m. And I'm like super tired because I normally go to sleep earlier. And then I just go home at midnight and then I go to sleep. That's the whole story. Okay, I mean, it is sort of a boring story. You'd have to have been there. I just felt like in the moment when I went to the math tower late at night for no reason but paranoia, I felt so crazy. And then when I got to the math tower, I was like, I am not the craziest person in the room right now. It was a weird feeling.
It's a weird feeling, huh?
Yeah, I
To
feel.
discover you're not the craziest person.
Yeah, I normally think I just have a monopoly on mania and paranoia and insanity, but Everyone else are all around me is fucking insane too, and it's crazy. How does anything get done?
Even me?
Hey, you can't tell if you're listening, but our eyes are getting bigger as we stare into them. Even you.
Ends podcast.
You can't end the podcast. This is my podcast. But yeah, I think this is an appropriate length for our podcast. Whoa, we've talked for longer than I realized, but...
I'm sorry.
No, no, no. This is a good
one. No, length, no. I'm apologizing to the listeners.
Yeah, thank you for your time, listener. I should check the stats to see how many people listened to the last one. Probably like 5 people. I should call them out by name. Everyone who liked it. Thanks for the likes. The engagement really keeps me going.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I don't know where I'd be without you. Okay, well, that's it for this podcast.
Ends podcast.
You can't end the podcast.